We are glad you're here. This is a special, unique service, you know, in that we've just come off Christmas Eve. By the way, you know, it's been two nights since I've seen you. And so I don't know how churches that do Wednesday night services and then Sunday morning. Like for me, I'm like, too much of a good thing's too much of a good thing. You know, seeing you, I love you. I'm glad to be with you. But it's like we were just together. If you're a guest, we're glad that you're here. And let me say that in this service, you know, we have no learning center. And so there'll be some kids in the room. And if children get restless, you need to get up and walk around. It's like Christmas Eve. Please go ahead and get up and, you know, you need to get them to the bathroom, whatever it may be. If you're a guest and you're moving into 2026, and you're in our community, I guess, you know, not family from out of town. Boy, may I encourage you sometime in 2026, find your community of faith, find your family of faith. And that's what we'd want to help you do. If it's at Fellowship, fantastic. If not, we'll help you get there somewhere in the community. So many good churches. Talk to someone at the tent or with a blue lanyard on. They can help you know a bit more about us. You can go online, connect at fellowship.com, fill out a form. We'll get right back with you. We got a class coming up, I believe, next week. New members, just getting to know us, we would love to have you there. Some family business for us. You know, we at church are in their season of global Christmas. I mentioned this Christmas Eve, so no new news here because we were just meeting. But it is that season, if you didn't make even Christmas Eve or the last month of Advent sometime, when we say less under our tree and more for the world. And for us, that's a goal of $1 million given over these 4 to 6 weeks, because some people give on into January. And if you haven't made that gift, I want to encourage you to find that it really is the joy. The deepest joy is not in the getting. The deepest joys we experience in life is in the giving. And you got to grow up a little bit to understand that and grasp that. But this is the biblical way. And so encourage you to make your global Christmas gift as if you have not. We're right at our goal million. We're right at 580, I mentioned. Last year at this time, we're right at 590. So we're right about where we normally are. And of course, you can give all the way into the new year. Speaking of giving, it would be appropriate to say, God, you have been so faithful to us. 2026 through your people. And so we want to recognize that. And these are the ways that we give. We understand that giving is that act of obedience, stewardship, faithfulness, wherein God, who owns everything, we return that portion. And for those of us who call Fellowship home, this is a part of our walk with Christ and even our deepest joy as we see him provide, even as he provides to us and through us. One last thing, when we dismiss here briefly, and again, it's a shorter service, so we will have you time for this. Rather than head to the car, I want to encourage you, if you miss Christmas Eve, the art exhibits in the Learning Center, they're there, and my, they're worth going. And just glancing at and taking a look at 16 artists in our body who took our theme, Joy to the World, and expressed it visually in different ways with words, flowers, paintings. I'm just delighted. It's just, we went over there Christmas Eve, and so sweet to spend that evening glancing at those. And you can do that today. So when we dismiss here in a few moments, I'm going to encourage you to step that way. I put AI to use for this message, okay? So not the whole message, just here on the front end to help us get oriented. I asked this question: what is the one thing that a person can do that would change their life the most? Answer: develop self-trust and consistency. Okay, that's two things, but okay, I get it. You know, with AI, you know, you gotta tweak your question, and I did. And I asked, what is one thing a person should do to change the most? Answer: intentionality and self-awareness. Again, two things, but I go, okay, I'm building up something here. Last one. And these are good things. They really are. Last one. What is the single most important thing a person should do to change the most? Answer: The single most important thing for major life change is taking full ownership and responsibility for your life, acting as the driver, and then focusing on building one small, consistent new habit with persistent follow-up and self-compassion. Recognizing change takes time. Small steps accumulate into huge transformation. And I went, wow, okay. Just the one thing, you know. And I can't fault ChatGPT because we know how this works, right? We are talking about all the data available to humanity, you know, accessible to these AI learning machines. So it's reading every study, journal, article, movie, I don't know, whatever's been written, every newspaper all across, you know, the world to get down to that. So boiling to one thing, I totally get that it's difficult, if not virtually impossible. And in all honesty, if we think about it, life change and heart change, it's not one thing. You know, that's the truth. You can't go to one thing. Think about it biblically for us. It is most certainly the Spirit of God. Okay, it's the Spirit of God. It is His revelation. So it's the Spirit of God. It's connected to His revealed word to us. It's the Spirit of God in us, the Word of God informing us, shaping us, and it's us doing it in community. You don't do it alone. And it's time and it's faithfulness along obedience in the same direction. So it's all of those things. And then you have to add in this. How does God create heart change, life change in us? And fact of the matter, God's gonna take those things and then He's gonna take every circumstance in your life. You've got things coming in 2026 you don't anticipate. You can't anticipate. It's going to be things that you got issues you're thinking about 2026, but it won't be them. And God will use every circumstance and moment in your life, and then He will weave those in such a way that by His Spirit, in His Word, in the context of community, over time, He'll take all of that and use it to shape us from the inside out. While there's no, you know, holy grail to transformation, and I'm not trying to offer you one in this, I think there is, maybe I should say it this way, there are some things that rise to the top. And if there's one thing that arguably rises to the top, it would be the one thing that we're actually gonna do today. And that would be prayer. It would be communing with God in prayer. You know, it's so kind of ubiquitous in Christianity, we kind of can lose it and miss its importance in terms of changing our, because if you think about this, you all, if I said to you, you know, how does a person's heart change? I'm gonna tell you something. It's not just reading your Bible. It's not just memorizing scripture. It's not just walking by faith. It's a work of the Spirit that changes the heart. God uses prayer to bring that about. There are approximately 650 verses on prayer in the Bible. You can't miss it. First time we see prayer in the Bible is Genesis 4. It says in verse 26, at that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name. You want a definition for prayer? Call upon the name of the Lord. When you say call upon the name of the Lord, you're not saying, I'm calling on you, God, by His name. No, it's call upon the character of God. Call upon all that God has revealed Himself to be. Call upon all that God is and all that we know Him to be. Take the longest book in the Bible, the book of Psalms. We often call it, and it's called the hymnal of Israel, because right, it's Psalms or songs. But you could call that the whole thing the book of prayer. Because when you read them, you go, these are prayers. When we get to the New Testament and find Jesus praying. Now, if you're just going numerically, there's 25 different times we note that He prays, but you tell me, do you think He only prayed 25 times in His 33 years? Hardly. Remember John said if he wrote everything Jesus did, the world couldn't hold all the books? I mean, I'm telling you, It's enough to let us know that he lived his life in clear dependence and prayer upon his Father. Paul comes along and mentions prayer 41 times, prayer, praying, exhortation to pray, explaining prayer. And then perhaps maybe the most telling thing about prayer in our Bibles is this one little line that many would be familiar with, but it's in Luke 11, verse 1. It says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciple.'" Now, you gotta grasp that this question in its context. For a Jew, and these are Jewish men, prayer was a part of their life before they came out of the womb and before they took their first breath. And as a baby, as an infant, as a toddler, as a child, as an adolescent, it's the Shema, the Lord our God is one. It's the morning prayer, it's the noonday prayer. They know how to pray, but there was something about when they watched the rabbi pray that struck them. Surely it's the Spirit of God that struck them that you teach us how to pray. The way you pray is different than the way we prayed our whole life and we were taught to pray. And surely this, it's the Spirit of God, because what is his answer? Jesus' answer is what we know as the Lord's Prayer, which is a masterclass in prayer. Now this morning, I'm not gonna go through that. We're gonna actually pray it at the end. But I'm saying all this to bring us to a point where we're gonna do what I want us to do this morning. And that is, we're gonna pray. And then actually, we're gonna do something that requires even greater, maybe I was gonna say faith, but courage. And that is, I'm gonna invite each of you to allow someone else to pray for you. That each of us are gonna get to make our request known. I'm gonna be up front here in a moment. We're gonna take some time this morning where you can come up and pray with me, or we're gonna have elders, or Paul and Melanie, others on the prayer team are gonna be up and available to pray with you as we work through a little prayer worksheet, if you will. Our greatest need, you all, the deepest longings of our heart and desire for heart change, it doesn't begin, as AI said, with self-trust, consistency, intentionality, taking full ownership. Those are good things. You know what I'm saying? But not the most important. What's most important is that our hearts are changed so that whatever 2026 holds, and whatever our resolutions, our wishes and hopes and dreams for 2026, when they don't go as we planned, and then add to that the things that we're not even thinking of that come, when that all happens, we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. We actually become more Christ-like because of those things. And we need to pray along those lines. Just a quick biblical summary. I'm gonna put these on the screen. Just let these sit upon you, one after the other. Philippians 4:6, "Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." 1 Thessalonians 5, "Pray without ceasing." Hebrews 4, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Colossians 4, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." John 15, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Mark 11, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Matthew 7, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts, give good things to those who ask him? Charles Spurgeon says it this way, whether we like it or not, asking is the rule of the kingdom. We're invited to ask. Come on, tell me, let me know. This is God, always his posture and invitation. And prayer becomes our response to his invitation. So I'm inviting all of us to let our requests be made known, and you're gonna do it in such a way that you're gonna open yourself up to being prayed for. So there's a group of people that pray on Friday mornings, Paul and Melanie among them and some in the room as well. It's a small group of people. But they pray for you and me every Friday. There is a smaller group of people. I mean, I can count them on less than one hand, that every Sunday morning walk through this room and touch every chair, praying for the person sitting in that chair. They do that before you ever come in this room. There are elders who receive prayer requests and pray for you, and there's a staff team that receives those requests and pray for you. And each week, we invite you to write us an email and let us know how to pray. Now, can I say this? And I always tend to qualify a lot. Maybe I overqualify, but I'm not shaming anyone by any means, but I just want you to know the reality. We get so few prayer requests. Isn't that something? If we were to bear the needs in the body, it would overrun the system, but we just don't do it. And I get it. I get it that way. I just don't have time or, you know, but y'all, oh my, how we need to be praying for one another and grateful that we can make our requests known and that those prayers can be prayed. This is a part of maybe what we're doing today to kind of warm us up to that. So when you came in, everybody got a prayer card. And so we're gonna start here. And this is a bit of a workshop we're gonna do. Everyone has your prayer card. Don't write anything on it yet. I want to walk you through it. Now, you know, this is that service between, you know, Christmas Eve and then boom, you're on a Sunday. And so it's a little odd and maybe less attended. But if you were here last year, we're going to do what we did last year. And may I say, it was like a highlight of my year. Not just what we're doing now, but you'll understand this, but what happens later in the year. When that prayer request that you make today comes back to you, noted by someone who has prayed those very things for you. So the first thing we're gonna do is on my prayer for 2026, and you're gonna see on the screen, is we're gonna draw a line and divide that box in two. Everybody needs to do that. I also want you to know, if you don't have a card, raise your hand or go out and get one. Everyone needs a card, and parents, if you've got a child in the room that can't write or an infant or whatever, get one for everyone in your family. It's okay. You can write your address on there and you can write a prayer for a child. Many people did that last year, and I hope that you'll do that here somewhere. We got a card box right here, but get up, go grab one, grab however many you need and draw that line. I'll tell you what to do in a moment. Second thing, address the card. Write your name and your address. Everybody take your time and do that. You wanna write your name and your address. Again, you can write your child's name, write your home address on that. If your kids are doing it, help your kids do it in such a way we can read the address, or the postman can read it. And here's what we're gonna do, and we're gonna take some time to do this. don't start writing your quest yet. I want to give you a little, I want to qualify this a little bit for you, give you a little bit of direction. On the left side, you are going to write your prayer request as you move into 2026. On the right side, you're going to leave that totally blank. Everybody with me? So the left side, you write your request. If you're a guest of ours and you live in Florida or you're from California, please join us and let us know how we can pray for you, right? Your address, et cetera. But the request is on the left, and the right is blank, because what we do on the right side is that person that'll be praying for you will jot you a note. Here's my card from last year. And on the left side, we had two ways to ask, but my prayer request. And then I'm gonna tell you something. And this won't happen right away. This will be kind of in the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter of the year, that we'll be sending these back to you and you'll be reminded. And I just remember being so delighted when I was surprised to get my prayer request. And then to be, may I say this, actually so informed as I look at my year and some of the events that happened over 2025, and to see this prayer, God's been answering. And can I say, he's even answering it now when I'm reminded what I put. So speaking of what to put, let's keep these things in mind. We know that God answers our prayers when they're aligned with his will. God's deepest desire for you and I, may I say this, it's not just that we put our trust in Christ, so now we have a seat in heaven, or we have a seat when heaven and earth are one once again. It's not just that. It's that right now and until that day, you and I become more and more like Jesus. If you want to pray in the jet stream of God's will, let that prayer rise out of a desire to be more like Christ. You bring all your needs. You can bring every need, of course. But I want you to be thinking about this in terms of, oh my, how might Christ be more fully formed in me in 2026? Now, one of the ways you can think of this is the fruit of the Spirit. Think about it. Okay, so my life, to look more like Christ, it will be the Spirit in me being more fully expressed in my thoughts, emotions, desires, and choices in my heart. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, you don't have to pick one of those, but last year, what I chose for my prayer request, I said, what do I pray God will do in me? Prayer for 2025. Deepen peace in my heart, that I would grow in being a non-anxious presence. Y'all, there have been plenty of things happening in my own world in this year and in our world where I'm an anxious person. I've told you guys that before. That's my go-to, fear and anxiety. But God has been answering that prayer. He's answering it now, even as we move into 2026. And I love that it was, you know, I got a note first quarter, right at the beginning of the second quarter last year, who prayed for me even deeper than I even expressed that wish. That, let that guide your thinking. You might go with the first anxious, fearful thing that, you know, that's tend to what we tend to pray for, the things we're afraid of or anxious. So there might be something there. Kind of root it maybe in how Christ can be shaped in you, such that whatever you're afraid of, even if it happens, even if it's something you didn't anticipate, it's the worst thing, whatever, see, that God would shape Christ more fully in you through it. That's what matters. So while you're working on that, the other thing we're gonna do, and y'all, this is something we hope to do more, and I know this is not easy, and it's a little different, you know, when change is different, and we did this in our prayer nights is where we do this, but we're gonna do it this morning. We did last services. I'm gonna be up front, and then I know I've got some people with me up front to pray in this service. Barry and Melissa, Barry's up here. Paul and Melanie. Barry, come on up with me. Former elder. Melissa, you can join him if you want. I'd love for you to. I'm up here. You can join me if you want, Lisa. Paul and Melanie up here. Let's spread out. Is there any other elder in the room? Or no, we missed one last week, but we're here to pray. And so while we're working on this, and we're going to give you time to work on this prayer request, if you want someone to pray with you, Trisha, thanks for being up here. Come up here and let us pray with you on the prayer night, if you were there. Oh my goodness. What a gift. I had a family come up to me on that prayer night we had in late fall, and they just said, man, they had their little kids, and would you just pray a blessing over my family? I said, are you kidding? I'm delighted to pray a blessing over you, whatever the need may be. So you're gonna have to get up out of your chair and walk down here. You know, Spurgeon said, the rule of the kingdom is ask. The rule of the morning is, you want someone to pray over you, come on up here. Why would you bypass that? You know, I know some of everyone doesn't need to come up, but we'll pray for you. I'll pray over you. So in these moments, prayerfully fill out your prayer requests. If you want someone to pray, then we're gonna take this time and you can come up and I'll pray for you, or we'll pray for you. Continue to let those up front continue to pray. But for all of us here, let me invite you to take the card and the, if you borrowed a pen or whatever, and what we need to do is we need to get those cards on this aisle and on this aisle. So you just pass them. And if you're sitting on the edge, all the cards should hit your hands on this aisle, on either side, and on this aisle. Just pass the pen, if you borrowed pens, whatever, but get them all the way down. So you'll be holding, someone on the aisle will be holding all the cards from that row. Y'all, what a gift to sit in the room, to pray over those. And I know there are those in the room, you didn't come down, but you had a, listen, in a busy season, you had a moment to pray. My goodness, so good and right for us to do this. May we do it more in 2026. And may we find the courage in ourselves, not that you have to come down front, that, y'all, I just envision a church. Our church would be a place where if you're walking through the common area that we're gonna have soon, you'd see people just standing with a hand on someone praying. Or we'd be standing down front on our knees, or standing to get our knees and praying, or people with each other praying in the room. It's one of the most beautiful things in our prayer night. You know, it's a different setting, but we had people that stood to say their prayer requests, and just for people to gather around them in that moment. As many of you said to us afterwards, I wish we did that on Sunday morning. Well, let's do that more on Sunday morning, where we could turn to one another and pray. And thank you for inviting us into your world by submitting this prayer request. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Y'all, the idea there is not, this. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. It's not that you're trying to get the Father's attention. It's not that you're trying to change his heart to you. It's strangely in the knocking, we're being changed. In the asking, in the pursuing, and in the bringing. 1 John 5:14-15, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request we have asked of him. Our confidence, deep confidence, is not like, I've earned this. No, it's not. For what I've done, would you do? No. Confidence is the only one who could secure our forgiveness and clothe us in righteousness has done so, and that's Jesus. So based in our confidence in the wholeness, rightness, trueness of Jesus and the gospel in his name, we come and we ask and we ask and we ask. Let's stand together. I said we would end with a benediction of the Lord's Prayer. I want to give you a quote before we do from Henry Ward Beecher. He said, prayer covers the whole man, the whole of a man's life, and of course, a man or a woman's life. There is no thought, feeling, yearning, or desire, however low, trifling, or vulgar we may deem it, which, if it affects our interest or happiness, we may not lay before God and be sure of sympathy. His nature is such that our often coming does not tire him. The whole burden of the whole life of every man or woman may be rolled on to God and not weary him, though it has wearied the man or the woman. The rule of the kingdom is ask. The rule of the kingdom is bring. And we experience God even in the bringing. So let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. The request was, Jesus, teach us to pray, and he has. Now, I've got it kind of in the old school. This is the traditional, you know, it's one of those things. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but I kind of knew the Lord's Prayer just because you hear it somewhere. Well, I heard it this way, and so it kind of gets stuck in your head in this way with the these and the thys. So with that out loud, I'll start us, but we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen, and God bless.